بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول: اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. رواه مسلم. Continuing with the chapter on taqwa, the third riwayat which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned is in fact a dua related by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua. We find that the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he made on the various occasions, ulama ikram encourage us that we should try and learn the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and try and implement them and bring them in our lives. And what is better is not only just to learn the du'a, but try and learn the meanings of the dua as well, so that when we are asking these things, we apply our minds, apply our hearts. Because we find that one thing, one message comes across very, very clearly when we look at the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that even though the wording was such that they were comprehensive, very short, but they were all encompassing in their meaning. And if one has to apply his mind and ponder over the type of du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, then we can see quite clearly that this was something that was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such are the fundamental deep meanings that are found in the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, this du'a is very, very brief. But despite its brevity, if you have to analyze and look at what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking, that Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda, that oh Allah, verily I beg from you, I beseech you, I ask you. The first thing he asked in this dua is al-huda, which is hidayat. Now that itself, the meaning of this word hidayat is something that is voluminous. Ulama explained very briefly, they say basically hidayat is broken up into two parts. One is what we call huda ilm and the other is huda amal. That is the correct knowledge, that ya Allah, I ask you for the correct knowledge, and huda amal, that is the correct practice upon that knowledge. Every rakat of every salah, we are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one dua that is compulsory upon every person is the dua which we make in Surah Fatiha. And in that dua we ask, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. That is, we are asking hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only for ourselves, but for our families, for our localities, and for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now ulama say that what is the dua, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim? That we are asking Allah Ta'ala an yu'allimahu wa an yuwaffiqahu al-amal. That oh Allah, teach me the road, teach me the knowledge, the correct knowledge of deen, and inspire me to make amal upon that dua, upon that knowledge. That is, dullana ala al-khayr wa waffiqna ila al-qiyam bihi. That guide us to what is good and then give us the tawfiq and the ability to bring our lives upon that good. So we can see in itself what a great thing this is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is for hidayat, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah ta'ala wa tuqa, which is why this hadith is mentioned underneath this chapter, that oh Allah, grant me taqwa. We've been dealing for quite a few days now of what is the meaning of taqwa. The value of this dua for taqwa is something that cannot be possibly quantified. We find in the lives of the Salaf al-Salihin, whenever they would meet one another, whenever they would gift something to one another, someone would say, I'm going on a journey, grant me some gift or give me some advice. Practicing upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always the advice would incorporate this taqwa. Like we find amongst the sayings, usika bi taqwa Allah, that I advise you with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is taqwa? What is the value of it? فَإِنَّهَا أَكْرَمُ مَا أَسْرَرْتَ وَأَزْيَنُ مَا أَظْهَرْتَ وَأَفْضَلُ مَا مَدَّخَرْتَ فَإِنَّهَا خَيْرُ زَادِ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. That what is taqwa? It is the best thing that you can possibly have. أَكْرَمُ مَا أَسْرَرْتَ. That which you conceal within you, if you have taqwa, there is nothing more honorable than that. There is nothing more beautiful that you can reveal in your outer personality than this quality of taqwa. There is nothing more virtuous that you can store for akhirat than taqwa. Because this is the best thing, best provision, not only for this world, but for the hereafter. Because Allah Ta'ala has taken upon himself for the people of taqwa to give them salvation from whatever they fear. and to sustain them, give them the risk from whence they cannot even imagine. Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him and he mentioned this verse of the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. That person who has Allah's taqwa, Allah will remove every difficulty, take him out of every problem and sustain him from where he cannot even imagine. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, يَا أَبَا ذَرْ لَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كُلَّهُمْ أَخَذُوا بِهَا لَكَفَتْهُمْ. That oh Abu Zar, if the whole of humanity has to come upon taqwa, then Allah will do this for the whole of humanity. Solve every problem of theirs and give them sustenance from where they cannot even imagine. So how important it is for us to be asking for this great jewel of taqwa. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, third thing in this dua that he asked for is wal afaf. That Allah grant me chastity. Now if you look at this word afaf, chastity is part of taqwa. It is part of hidayat, yet special emphasis is placed upon this. What ulama explained, afaf from what? Chastity from what? They say that it has a broad meaning, afaf an is zina, that Allah Ta'ala grant you chastity and protect you from zina, from all forms of adultery and everything that will take you close to that. وَيَشْمُلُ فِيهِ زِنَ النَّظْرِ وَزِنَ اللَّمْسِ وَزِنَ الْفَرَجِ وَزِنَ الْإِسْتِمَاعِ. That Ya Allah, grant me chastity, protect me from every type of zina, zina of the eyes, zina of the touch, zina of the ears, zina of the listening, zina, and finally zina of the private part. That is, Ya Allah, keep me pure, keep me chaste. And then the fourth thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for is ghina. Now this word ghina, if you have to translate it, what it means literally is wealth. But in this context, it doesn't mean Ya Allah, make me rich or make me wealthy. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed Sahaba ikram, many occasions in fact, and he said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. He said, wealth is not having a lot of possessions. Wealth is the wealth of the heart. In other words, qanaat, contentment. This word ghina in the context of dua, whenever Rasulullah would ask for this and stress upon it, what it meant is that, Ya Allah, grant me independence. Make me self-sufficient. Do not make me such that my gaze goes towards the makhluk, towards the creation. Let me look only at you. Because when a person's gaze is on Allah, he asks from Allah, that is izzat, that is honor. And it is a form of ibadat to ask from Allah. When a person's gaze goes towards the makhluk, you're always asking people to help you. You're always placing your needs in front of people. This is what? This is zillat, this is disgrace, this is lowering yourself. Now if you look at the sequence of this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Allah, grant me hidayat. Everyone needs hidayat, protection from dalalat, deviation. Then grant me taqwa. Let me bring my life upon deen and abstain from what you made haram. And then grant me chastity, specifically protect my chastity. All this addresses his deeni needs. And then finally, his worldly needs. Grant me ghina, grant me independence, give me sufficient, and grant me contentment upon that, so that my gaze does not go towards the makhluk. Now what a comprehensive dua this is. Needs of dunya, needs of akhirat are addressed. It's not difficult for us to learn this. Allahumma inni as'aluka tuqa, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda, wa-tuqa, wa-la'afafa, wa-al-ghina. And finally, one very, very important lesson that we can learn from such du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us what? Ask from Allah. Turn to Allah. Nowadays you find some people, na'uzubillah, Allah protect us, they place their need, they go to graves. Or some people go to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rodha Mubarak, ask from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or they ask from other, from those besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The subtle message is given, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is asking from Allah, teaching us dependence on Allah, then why are we turning to others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We should learn to place all our needs in front of Allah. Allah give us tawfiq.